At last the glad day ended, and when the sun was gone and the round moon rode slowly above the mists of Anduin and flickered through the fluttering leaves, Frodo and Sam sat under the whispering trees amid the fragrance of fair Ithilien, and they talked deep into the night with Merry and Pippin and Gandalf, and after a while Legolas and Gimli joined them. There Frodo and Sam learned much of all that had happened to the company after their fellowship was broken on the evil day at Parth Garlan by Rauros Falls, and still there was always more to ask and more to tell. Orcs and talking trees and leagues of grass and galloping riders and glittering caves and white towers and golden halls and battles and tall ships sailing, all these passed before Sam's mind until he felt bewildered. But amidst all these wonders he returned again to his astonishment at the size of Merry and Pippin, and he made them stand back to back with Frodo and himself. He scratched his head. "Can't understand it at your age," he said. "But there it is. You're 3 inches taller than you ought to be, or I'm a dwarf."
"That you certainly are not," said Gimli. "But what did I say? Mortals cannot go drinking ent draughts and expect no more to come of them than a pot of beer."
"Ent draughts?" said Sam. "There you go about ents again, but what they are beats me. Why, it'll take weeks before we get all these things sized up." "Weeks indeed," said Pippin. "And then Frodo will have to be locked up in a tower in Minas Tirith and write it all down. Otherwise he'll forget half of it, and poor old Bilbo will be dreadfully disappointed."
At length Gandalf rose. "The hands of the king are hands of healing, dear friends," he said. "But he went to the very brink of death ere he recalled you, putting forth all his power, and sent you into the sweet forgetfulness of sleep. And though you have indeed slept long and blessedly, still it is now time to sleep again."
"And not only Sam and Frodo here," said Gimli, "but you too, Pippin. I love you, if only because of the pains you've cost me, which I shall never forget, nor shall I forget finding you on the hill of the last battle. But for Gimli the dwarf you would have been lost then. But at least I know now the look of a hobbit's foot, though it be all that can be seen under a heap of bodies. And when I heaved that great carcass off, I made sure you were dead. I could have torn out my beard. And it's only a day yet since you were first up and abroad again. To bed now you go, and so shall I."
"And I," said Legolas, "shall walk in the woods of this fair land, which is rest enough. In days to come, if my elven lord allows, some of our folk shall remove hither, and when we come it shall be blessed for a while. For a while, a month, a life, 100 years of men. But Anduin is near, and Anduin leads down to the sea, to the sea.